Take your Bible, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis is easy to find. It's the first book. So turn to Genesis chapter 12. You know, it's been on our hearts and minds in recent days, obviously, that hurricane that just came through. And you know, life presents us many challenges and opportunities. Life presents us many types of opportunities. Some of those opportunities are blessings. You may not think about it this way, but you know, if your health is good, you have some material blessings, you have a loving and nurturing family, you have a good job, you're blessed, you have opportunities as to how you're going to make use of those blessings. Some of our opportunities that we're faced with, though, are challenges and difficulties. Perhaps you've sat in a doctor's office and he's given you a diagnosis that you really didn't want to hear. Perhaps you've got some kind of financial setback, some unexpected expenses or medical bills or something of that nature. Perhaps there are family problems. And then, of course, we've seen storms, natural disasters. You know, if a tree fell on your house this past week, you didn't want that. You didn't choose it. You didn't know it was coming, but there it is. It's an opportunity. It's a challenge. It's a difficulty, but it's also an opportunity. Accidents, we could be victims of crime. There are many different types of circumstances that are come our way. And you know, one thing we need to remember, we're not in charge of our circumstances. You have not chosen what is going to take place today. There is a sovereign hand of Almighty God that is in charge of and guiding our circumstances. And on occasion, He sends us some real blessings. And we need to know how to use those blessings as opportunities. On occasion, He sends us difficulties and challenges. And either of those circumstances, blessings or problems, can present us with opportunities. We can have opportunities to either walk by faith and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, or trust our own human reasoning and fall into sin. And kind of hurts to think about it. How often do we do that? When difficulties come, we just figure out the best plan in our mind without really seeking God's guidance and direction. But you know, when you're blessed, you can become satisfied. You can become proud. You can become self-sufficient and feel like you don't even need God. When you're going through the storms of life, you can easily become angry, resentful, envious. Why'd that tree fall on my house? Didn't fall on my neighbor's house. My neighbor's tree. How come it fell on my house? You know, you could become envious, resentful. You could become self-centered. Poor me. I'm going through something nobody else has ever gone through before. By the way, anytime you think that, it's wrong. You're going through stuff that others have gone through. You can trust your reasoning more than you trust God when you're going through those difficulties. Because, you know, we're problem solvers. We got to figure a way out of our problem. In reality, all of life's circumstances are opportunities. How will we do when we're presented with those opportunities? So this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of opportunities from Genesis 12. We're going to learn about a man who faced, in one chapter, both blessings and difficulties. And we're going to see how he handled those opportunities. And hopefully, we'll learn some lessons that will enable us to handle the opportunities that come our way in a way that pleases God. So let's take a look at chapter 12. I'm actually going to cheat and go back to chapter 11, verse 31, read a couple of verses there. But we're going to find that Abram, and that was his original name before God changed his name to Abraham. We generally know him as Abraham, but in these early chapters, he's referred to as Abram. So I'm going to read to you chapter 11, verse 31 through chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "And Terah took Abram his son," so Terah was Abram's father, "Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarai his daughter-in-law," that was Abram's wife who would later be known as Sarah, And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And I'll explain those locations in a moment. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then starting in chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, that's otherwise known as Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai, we know it better as Ai, on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So what we see in these verses is that Abram trusted the Lord. That's the first thing we need to see. Abram trusted the Lord. Now, let's look into these verses a little closer. In verse 1, Abram received some instructions from God. Verse 1 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, really, verse 1 is there to help explain what's going on in chapter 11, verses 31 and 32. Because here's the sequence of event. Abram and all his family, Terah, his father, and the rest of his family, were living in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Ur of the Chaldees is Mesopotamia. That is modern-day Iraq. So that's where Abram and his family were living. And God spoke to Abram, chapter 12, verse 1, said, get you out of your country and away from your family and from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Did you notice? God gave Abram some instructions. Leave town. Leave everything you know. But did you notice he didn't tell him where he was going? He said, you go, and I'll show you where to go. Now, I have felt like the Lord has directed my steps through life at numerous occasions. But I never got one of those. You just start driving, I'll tell you where to pull off. I never got one of those, but that's what God said to Abram. And really, God is calling on Abram to leave everything he knows, to leave his family, to leave his homeland, to leave everything. And I did a little research this week. When I think about leaving his family and everything he knows there and everything he's familiar with, do you realize his great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy Noah was still alive when Abram was born? Now, I believe Noah had died before this call, but most of his family for generations were still right there. And you're just going to walk in one day and say, hey, Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Granddad, great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, great, I'm leaving. We're out of here. God has said for us to leave. That's basically what took place. And then chapter 11, verses 31 and 32 describe how Terah, Abram's father, went with him. They traveled from Mesopotamia, which if you picture the world map, here's Iraq down here and the Gulf down there. And they traveled northward up to Syria, which is Haran. That's the way they traveled. They didn't go straight across the desert. The interstate hadn't been built at that time. So they traveled up the river to Haran, and then they traveled south to Canaan. And while they were in Haran, Abram's father died. But anyway, Abram received some instruction from God. There were some strange instructions. There were some challenging instructions. But you know what's interesting? Abram obeyed those instructions. This took real trust. Go, leave everything you know, and go to a place I'm going to show you. That took real trust. Well, not only did Abram receive instructions from God, Abram received some promises from God. Look at verse 2. And I will make, this is God speaking to Abram, I will make of thee a great nation. So he promised to make Abram into a great nation. He's leaving his whole family, generations of them, and he's going to go off somewhere unknown. But God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And he said, I will bless thee. So God has promised to bless Abram. And he says in verse 2, and will make thy name great. He promised to make Abram famous, to have his name great. And you know what? Three of the major world religions today look back to the example of Abram. Abraham is indeed quite a famous person. His name is great. And also God promised in verse 2 to make Abram a blessing to others. And thou shalt be a blessing. God promised to bless Abram, and he promised to bless others. And you know how far that blessing extends? One of his descendants, many, many generations later, is a man by the name of Jesus Christ. So through Abram, through his descendant Jesus Christ, we have all been blessed. Amen? So he promised to be that he would be a blessing to others. Look at verse 3. He promised to be on Abram's side. He said, look, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stand up for you. I will bless them that bless thee. You know, when you were a little kid, if there was a bully on the playground, didn't it help if you had a big brother around, you know? God basically says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. So I'm going to be on your side, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God promised to be on Abram's side, Abraham's side. You know, that's one reason today we always need to be on Israel's side. This promise extends down through the generations. The descendants of Abraham today are the Jewish people, and we need to be a blessing to them and to be on their side, because if we're blessing Israel, God's going to bless us. If we don't bless Israel, God's not going to bless us. That's pretty simple there. So God promised that to Abram. And then in verse 7, he made another promise to Abram. He promised to give Abram's descendants the land of Canaan. Look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, he's already in Canaan, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And then Abram built an altar to the Lord and called out to the Lord. So the Lord appeared to Abram. Previously, God had just told Abram something. Here he appears to Abram, and God deeded the land to Abram's descendant. The land of Canaan, what we know as Israel. Well, part of it we know as the occupied territories or the Palestinian territories. All of that land there, you look in the Bible, God deeded that. He gave that to Abraham's descendants. And really, the Arab-Muslim claim on the land today is the source of all the unrest in the Middle East and ultimately throughout the world. Because you've got two different peoples there claiming that same land, and that causes a little problem. You know, if somebody else wanted to claim your house and move in and live in it, it'd be a little bit of a problem while you're still living there. That's what we got going on in the Middle East. It goes back to here. God gave the land to Abraham and his descendants. And so Abram built an altar to the Lord. So when we're thinking about the fact that Abram trusted the Lord, first he received instructions from God. Second, he received promises from God. And then thirdly, we need to see that he showed obedience toward God, obedience to God. Look back at chapter 11, verse 31. He left Ur. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of, and all these people, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran, and they stopped there for a time. Verses 4 through 6, I read that to you before, but look at verse 4. Abram departed, he left Haran, as the Lord had spoken, and he was 75 years old, and he departed, and he went from Haran down into Canaan in verse 5. And he passed through Shechem, and the Canaanite was in the land. So Abram, his family, he left his family in Ur, and he went to Haran. That's the halfway point. Abram's father died there, I already told you that. And then Abram led his family from Haran to Canaan. And did you catch the fact that he was 75 years old? When you think about moving, I don't want to move now. I'm 60. I don't want to move. I hadn't wanted to move for a while. He's 75 years old. Leave everything you know. Take your wife and your family and go. He didn't have any children. He took his nephew. Take your family and go. 75 years old. They journeyed on into Canaan. He built an altar there at Bethel. He built an altar at Shechem. He built an altar at Bethel. And it says in verse 8, he built the altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram is calling on the Lord. That means he is worshiping. He's seeking direction. So if you think about it, Abram had an opportunity. God gave him some instructions. God gave him some promises. How did Abram respond to that opportunity? Pretty good. He left everything he knew. He went to a place he didn't know. He trusted in the Lord. And you think about Abram's trust and faith. Abram's trust and faith blessed his family. Abram's trust and faith blessed him. And ultimately, Abram's trust and faith has blessed us. As I said, in him through shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Abram trusted the Lord, and he was blessed. Now let's find out, secondly, in the rest of chapter 12, that Abram trusted his own reasoning. Let's see what happens. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, he's talking to his wife, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, and she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servant and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. So we find in this situation, when a challenge arose, another opportunity, Abram trusted his own human reasonings. Look back at verse 10. Find in verse 10 where Abram got any instructions from God to go to Egypt. You won't. There are no instructions. Previously, God gave Abram instructions, but here there are no instructions, only circumstances. He's standing there in Canaan. God's blessed him. God's promised to bless him. He's called out on the name of the Lord. He's trusting God. He's left everything he knows. He's in this new and unfamiliar land, and there's a famine. And he's looking around at the circumstances. Does it say that he looked to God? Does it say that he went back to that altar? Does it say that he called out on the name of the Lord? No. There was a terrible famine in the land. But you know, think about it this way. God led Abram from a place of comfort to a place where there would be a famine. Do you think God in heaven saw Abram in the famine in Canaan and said, huh, I didn't know that was going to happen? You know, God has never said, huh, I didn't know that was going to happen. So God led Abram on purpose into this land of Canaan, knowing that there would be a famine there. He knew it was time for Abram's faith to be tested. You say, would God really do a thing like that? Do you remember Matthew chapter 4, right after the baptism of Jesus? It says, and the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He took him there specifically to be tempted. Do you remember another case where Jesus told his disciples, he didn't tell them, he straitly constrained them, I think is the word in the King James. He commanded them to get in this boat and go across the sea, and he stayed behind. You know where he was sending them? Out into a storm on purpose so they could learn a little bit about faith. So God led Abram to a place where there would be a famine. God never told Abram to go to Egypt. That was his own idea. And you know, from verse 4 on, we've got Abram traveling south down into Canaan. Now all of a sudden, when the going gets rough, he takes a turn. And he says, I think I'll go over here to Egypt. Rather than trust God, depend on God, or just wait for further instructions, Abram left town. He packed up and left. He could have very easily said, God, there's a famine in the land. You promised to bless me. What am I supposed to do at this point? God, I need food. We're getting hungry around here, God. What am I supposed to do? What are we supposed to eat? How are you going to provide for us? He didn't wait for instructions. There was no instructions, only circumstances, and he left town. And then, whereas before we saw that God had given Abram some promises, in this instance, we don't find any promises. All we've got is fear. There's no promises, only fear. Look back at verse 11. They're starting on their way to Egypt, and they start seeing the sign, say, Egypt, 20 miles. And they're seeing the sign, and Abram's looking around, and he's thinking, you know, my wife is really beautiful. We're going to get to Egypt. These people don't know me. They're going to kill me, and they're going to take her. So he comes up with this plan. He said, now look, you tell them that you're my sister instead of my wife. You say this. So rather than trust God to protect him and his wife, rather than go into Egypt, even though he wasn't even supposed to be in Egypt, but still, God said, look, I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to give this land to you and your descendants. He didn't have any descendants. He's got to stay alive if he's going to have descendants, right? So rather than trust God to protect him and his wife, he devised a deceitful and dishonorable plan. And this plan, ladies, how do you like that? You know, they might kill me if they see how pretty you are, so you just tell them you're my sister. He's not protecting his wife. This is a selfish, uncaring plan. He was only concerned for his own safety, and he was not concerned for Sarah's honor. And you know what? When you follow your fear, you're going to fail. Follow your fear, and you will fail. So he devised this dishonorable plan, and let's see what takes place. Verse 14, that the Egyptians saw her. She was beautiful. The princes went to Pharaoh, said, Pharaoh, have you seen this woman that came in with this guy that came from Canaan? And so Pharaoh took her into his house. Verse 15, Pharaoh took her into his house. What does that mean? Pharaoh was king. That means he took Sarai, Abram's wife, into his harem. Now, presumably, there was a lengthy preparation process. You remember the book of Esther, where these girls were taken into the kings of Persia's harem, and there was like a year-long process they had to go through to get all perfumed and prettified and everything before they were presented to the king. Presumably, there's a lengthy process, and maybe Abram is figuring, hey, the weather's going to turn. I've checked the weather channel. Rain's coming. We're going to get some crops. We're going to get out of here before you get in trouble. But we don't know that. He just let them take his wife into the Pharaoh's harem. And look at verse 16. I mean, it's not like this is some accident or Abram didn't understand what's going on. Pharaoh paid him well for his wife. Did you see that? He gave him all these animals and maidservants and men servants. He made Abram a rich man. He already had a lot of possessions, but he made him even wealthier. He paid him for his wife, who he claimed to be his sister. And then look at what verse 17. What happens? The Lord actually plagued Pharaoh's house because of Sarah. The Lord plagued Pharaoh's and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now, I don't know if you recognize it, but Abram's got himself in a mess. I mean, he made a wrong turn when he turned and headed to Egypt. He made a wrong decision when he came up with this plan. He made another wrong decision when he let them carry it out. And now his wife is in the Pharaoh's house in her harem, and problems have come to Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh has really recognized what the situation is. And do you see in verses 18 and 19 that Pharaoh rebuked Abram? Look at 18. Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What are you doing? Why did you not tell me that this is your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her to be my wife. And what trouble would have that caused?" So a lost man showed more honor because he didn't want to take another man's wife. Abram is willing to give his wife to protect himself, to protect his hide. Pharaoh, a lost man, has more honor than the child of God, because he wouldn't take Abram's wife. So, you know, he dishonored God when he trusted his own human reasoning rather than God's instructions. Oh, wait a minute. You know that might still be the case today, huh? When I trust my own human reasoning instead of trusting God and following his instructions, I dishonor God too. Wow, that sounds pretty serious. So look what happened. Pharaoh in verse 19 said, "Look, here's your wife. Take her. Get out of here." Verse 20, Pharaoh commanded his men. He didn't just tell Abram, "Take his wife and get out." He told his men, "Take them to the border. Kick them out. Send them away. Get them away." Abram might have said, "Well, what about all this stuff you gave me? Take it. I don't want it. I just want you out of my kingdom." So Pharaoh kicked Abram out of Egypt. And the result was that Abram ruined his testimony before the lost Egyptians. You know, prior to that, if he had had an encounter with some Egyptians, he could have easily said, "You know, we used to worship these false gods like y'all worship when we lived in Ur, the Chaldees. But one day the Lord Jehovah came to me and spoke to me and called me by name, and he told me to leave my country and go from my country of Ur and leave my family and go to this land of Canaan that I'd never heard of or seen before. And he promised that he would bless me and he would protect me and he would bless my descendants and he would give us that land forever. And let me tell you about this wonderful God that I have come to know." He couldn't do that anymore. He left town hanging his head in shame because an opportunity presented itself, and he didn't go by faith. He didn't go by trust. He went by his human reasoning. He could not claim to trust God. At this point where lost Pharaoh, is rebuking the saved man, he couldn't claim to trust God. "Well, God told me to tell you that." He couldn't do that. He said, "Well, I'm just trusting God. I didn't know what was going to happen with my wife." No, he couldn't do that. He couldn't claim to trust God. He couldn't witness for the Lord. Pharaoh would not have wanted to hear it. You know, you and I are called into this world to be witnesses. You go to the workplace and your lost coworker sees you lie or steal or cheat. You think they want to hear you? I don't think so. You try to witness to your neighbor and then one night you go over and steal his lawnmower. You think he wants to hear your witness? I don't think so. Or this past week you steal his generator, maybe. All of a sudden his lights go out and yours go on and he wonders what's happened. So Abram had a complete lack of faith. He had tremendous faith in leaving his homeland, and here he's got a complete lack of faith, and where his faith blessed him and blessed his family and ultimately blessed us, his lack of faith hurt Sarah. Ladies, how long do you think it took to get over this? You know, he comes home the next night after they get back from Canaan and said, "Hey, hon, how about some supper?" She said, "Get it yourself. Get one of Pharaoh's servants that he sent. Let them take care of your supper. I still hadn't got over that last deal." So he hurt Sarah. He hurt Pharaoh's house, his family. And ultimately, like I said, he hurt his testimony. He hurt his testimony bad. So, you know, circumstances come our way. We don't control them. But circumstances come our way. And circumstances present us with opportunities. Think about it this way, folks. Whenever a blessing comes your way, some blessing comes your way, that gives you an opportunity. What about a challenge or a difficulty? That challenge comes your way, and it gives you an opportunity. What's the opportunity? Are we going to trust ourselves, or are we going to trust the Lord? Because I give you a simple equation. Trust the Lord, that equals blessings. Not only on you, but on other people. Trust yourself, that equals problems, hurt feelings, embarrassment, lost opportunities, not only on you, but on other people as well. Abram was doing fine until the famine came. If we stopped, if this chapter ended with verse 9, we'd think, man, Abram was the greatest faithful guy that ever lived. But then, you know, the Bible is honest about its heroes and its characters. It tells us the truth. It tells us about David, a man after God's heart, and then he sinned. It tells us about Abram, a man of great faith who exercised no faith when the problem came. He was doing fine till the famine came. When trouble came, he messed up. Have you ever felt like that? Man, I'm walking along with the Lord. I'm doing just fine. Everything is great. And then some problem comes up, and you crash and burn. When the problems come up, that's some of your opportunities. Storms and difficulties will come to our lives. You're not going to avoid storms and difficulties. We can't control the circumstances any more than we could control the hurricane last week, but we can control how we respond to those circumstances. So let me ask you this question in closing. How are you responding to the opportunities God places before you? Are you responding in faith or in fear? Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. You've got a choice of one or the other. Well, I want to go down the middle. No, you can't do that. Are you responding in faith or in fear? Let's stand, please, heads bowed and eyes closed, and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the life of Abraham as we know him. And I thank you, Lord, for the tremendous example of faith. Throughout the Old and New Testament, Abraham is referenced as an example of faith. But Lord, I thank you that when he messed up, you let us know about it. You haven't set an unreachable standard for us. You remind us that these Bible characters were real-life human beings. And so, Lord, I pray that Abram's mess-up could be a wake-up for us so that we can try to avoid the same kind of mess-up in our own lives. Lord, thank you that we live on this side of the cross. Abram was looking forward to the promises of a Savior. We look back to the finished work of a Savior. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room who does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, that you would send your Holy Spirit to draw that person, to bring them to conviction of their sin so they may confess their sin and place their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And Lord, for those who are already saved, I pray, Lord, as opportunities come face to face with us today and tomorrow and this week and next week, that we would remember to respond in faith, not in fear, that we would remember to trust you, not our human reasoning. Lord, I pray that you would accomplish your purpose, whatever that might be, during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Brother David leads us, if you need to respond in any fashion, if you need to...